Lethe Movono is a freelance journalist whose work has featured on ABC Australia, The Guardian, Al Jazeera, Radio New Zealand, SBS, News Talk ZB, Agents France Press, and she also owns her company Today Media Fiji. As of the 9th of October, Fiji's Ministry of Health reported Fiji has vaccinated 80% of its eligible population above the age of 18, 3 weeks ahead of schedule. At least 96% of the population has received a first dose. We cross now to Fiji to find out more about the situation with COVID-19 on the ground, as well as the possible reopening of borders as of the 1st of December. Lethe is live on our phone line now. Bulavinaka, Lethe, and thank you so much for making time to have a chat with us this morning.
It's so good to be here. Thank you.
How are things there on the ground in Fiji at the moment?
I think the term that I've become comfortable with is that we're cautiously happy, or at least cautiously enthusiastic. It's such a relief to have gone over 6 months of what you all are going through right now, and to have come out at the other side with what looks like optimism, or at least cautious optimism.
Amazing the progress that the Ministry of Health has made with the rollout of the vaccination. That has got to be some cause for optimism.
Absolutely. I think I might have been one of those people that said there was no way we were going to hit 80% fully vaccinated adult population by the 31st of October. But here we are on the 10th, a full 2.5 weeks, I think, away from that target. But a lot of money and a lot of work has gone into that, I have to say.
What do you think has brought the change of heart for many of the doubters about the usefulness of the vaccine about? What has brought that about? Because we are still having doubters here in New Zealand, which seems to be slowing down our rollout. But Fijians seem to have embraced this.
I think the best answer there is that there is no other way to Fiji. Our main, the lifeblood of our economy, the tourism industry, caters to 40% of our annual foreign exchange earnings, 140, some say maybe even more than that, 160 people maybe directly benefit from the travel industry. And so that's quite a large number of the adult population to be out of work. And so entire towns, for example, the town of Nandi, the town of Singatoka, and to an extent, even the city of Lautoka, has been drastically crippled. I mean, they were basically ghost towns over the past 2 years. So poverty has been quite visible on the ground here. We've had social unrest. We've had very many people who really needed for the economy to reopen. And I think the government have put in quite a lot of money, as I mentioned, just giving people incentives to get the vaccine. But I would be unfair if I didn't mention as well that, you know, a complete denial of government services, a complete withdrawal of government benefits to people who are not vaccinated has been a large motivating factor for people to get the jab.
Wow, yes. And you're absolutely right. The economy and the lifeline of Fiji and the people of Fiji is absolutely reliant on the borders opening up again. You touched on social unrest there. Have been seeing reports of the unrest in, is it Nambua settlement? Is that probably the result of people just on the edge at the moment because of the financial situation, I'm guessing?
Yes. Well, the Nambua incident was more of a criminal nature. But even before that, we've had people, you know, fighting over things like food and government rations of food, as well as money. And so when, you know, when there's extreme poverty, it automatically leads to a lot of frustration in the community. And so we've had a lot of that over the past 6 months or so, or a lot more than as is usual for Fiji. But thankfully, we've had a heavy police presence, a heavy military presence too, I might add, just kind of controlling the peace and trying to prevent chaos. But I have to say the government put out a lot of awareness activity as well, and just making it, you know, giving people an ultimatum. They don't vaccinate, they don't get access to some very basic government services, or not easy access anyway.
Yes, and I guess for a lot of Fijians too, the reality of what COVID-19 has struck home, unlike us, with the health services being under pressure. And I've seen videos of what's happened, as what was happening a couple of months ago now, due to people getting COVID-19. I guess everybody knows somebody who has been affected by COVID-19. And that is the reality, whereas some of us here, we have not experienced that at a personal life. It hasn't touched us at personally.
Absolutely. I mean, I myself had two close family members pass away from COVID-19. And so the reality on the ground in Fiji over the past 6 months is that every single one of us here has been affected in some way, either to have gotten the virus itself because the prevalence is so high, or to have lost people or to know people who got it. And so everyone here has been drastically affected by it. And so I think that be denied in terms of it being a very motivating factor to people about how real the situation is and what the way forward would be. And so the government narrative just telling people there is no other way but to get tourism back open, and we will not have people coming here so long as we don't get control over this thing, has made a huge difference.
Yes, speaking of people coming there, talk of the borders opening up, where is that at this point?
Well, I think it begins first with today being Fiji itself, the mainland, opening up borders to the outer islands, because for the past 6 months or so, there have been very many of us who are not actually from the mainland, Vitilevu, unable to go home, unable to return home. There were children, for example, who had traveled here in mid-April for the annual high school athletics championships, who have been stuck here away from home for the past 6 months. And so people like that get to go home now. People get to go and check on family. People get to go and mourn families who have passed on. And just business, just being able to do business outside of the mainland, particularly for those in local trade, that opens up as of today. So flights and ships carrying passengers can now go out to, you know, one of the other 100 islands in the country that's actually inhabited. And so from the middle of November, however, between the 11th and the 15th, the government starts to open up international borders, but in a very limited and, you know, kind of a staggered fashion. So that means that people can start coming in who don't. Right now, we've had only people with working rights or living rights in Fiji have been able to come in. So foreigners, you know, who are here for business, they've been able to. But from the 11th onwards, we will start to receive people in a lot more open fashion. However, in December, in the 1st of December, Fiji Airways starts flying to all of their destinations, barring, of course, you know, government closure on the other end. So, for example, we're expecting to get visitors from the U.S., where we've been flying to as normal anyway over the past 6 months or so. Europe, for example, had not closed their borders to us, so people have been going back and forth between here and Europe, and now they can come to actually holiday from the 1st of December. However, from the middle of December, we're expecting an influx, or as what they're calling, we're expecting tourism flights. We're expecting visitors who are according to Tourism Fiji, have booked to come in holiday here from the 19th of December and possibly through the Christmas and the New Year.
Wow. Now, is there talk, because there is already talk of it here now in New Zealand, of the vaccination passport that people would not be able to travel without getting vaccinated? Is that going to be part of the conditions which the government will put into place before people can come into Fiji that you know of?
Absolutely. That is the most basic foundations for the reopening of our borders to, you know, to tourists, to international travel. So, for example, within the country, anyone working in and around tourism, whether you're in the hotels, whether you're a taxi driver, whether you're a tour operator, whether you're running, you know, a souvenir shop in one of the tourist towns, anyone working in and around tourism must be fully vaccinated, and there is a government initiative that registers anyone that works in and around that industry. And you must be trained as well in the super, you know, super sensitive hygiene practices that we're kind of normalizing at this point. So in and around Fiji, there is a Care Fiji commitment that mandates everyone that comes into contact with a foreign guest to be fully vaccinated and to regularly undergo testing and training. And then on the side of those who want to come here, you must be fully vaccinated as well in one of the WHO-recognized vaccines that is allowed in this country. And then you must pass a PCR test 72 hours before boarding your flights into the country. Upon arrival, the check-in systems here will now include a rapid test that you will pay for. So what the government has done is heavily subsidize all medical procedures in and around tourism. So, for example, the rapid test that would normally cost around $50 or something like that now costs something like $10 for every person that requires it. So you check into your hotel. So all along with all of the information you give to ensure a good stay, you also will undergo a rapid test. If you pass that, good for you. You continue on. And when you continue into the country, you must stay within the green zone. So from next week, the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Tourism put up a COVID green zone map of the entire country that tells you the places that have 80% or over the vaccination coverage of fully vaccinated people. So as a tourist, you will be denied entry into those places where vaccination coverage is still low. Now, that rapid test, if you fail it, if you get a positive test, you will stay within the hotel that you're booked to stay in. And now, one of the major developments happening right now, just towards the end of completion in all of our tourist properties, is each of those properties now have in-house medical services, and for some of them, even medical units complete with doctors and nurses and emergency services, such as, for example, oxygen for those who might need oxygen while you're in your hotel. But at the same time, the government's actually building, care facilities in and around the tourist areas and increasing testing capabilities in some of those towns and cities on the outer islands that are popular tourist destinations. There are now a handful of brand new emergency medical services mirrored on an international outfit based out of Australia that's been engaged by the government to set up these mobile emergency units that will look after you either at your hotel or at a hospital if you need to be hospitalized, or even for evacuation. So when you're staying, if you have, you know, an event-free, fast-free stay in the country, if your government requires that you pass another PCR test, you know, before you come back home, that will be conducted at your hotel as well, facilitated by your hotel at their cost. You pay for the test, they will run it back and forth to, you know, the testing facilities that are now all around the country and ensure that you're negative and that you can be on your way back home. So it's quite a comprehensive operation with lots of moving parts. But as I said at the beginning, the government and I guess the entire country is quite motivated to get this to work.
Wow, wow, wow. It does sound like there's been a whole lot of homework that has been done and all of the contingencies have been covered. Now, we're quickly running out of time at this end. So finally, the number of daily cases, how are they looking?
They're looking very, very good now. And as I said at the beginning, I think as a journalist, I've been covering this at the front line. I am quite enthusiastic and optimistic, but so very cautious because, as you know, we had gone through exactly 365 days of absolutely no cases, and then bam, you know, the Delta variant just basically ravaged the country. Right now, we are, for the first time ever, as of 2 days ago, we're at 4.5 in terms of our daily positivity rate. I think we have managed to bring our cases all the way down now to double digits, whereas at one point we had gone up to, you know, three. The number of deaths that are a lot lower. We've closed down all of our field hospitals. Our major hospitals are now running back in normal operations. All of the medical personnel who had been moved into the mainland from the outer islands have now gone back home. They've, you know, all started to normalize operations in the government infrastructure. And so we've moved out of the mitigation phase where, you know, people were just dropping left, right, and center. We're now back at the containment phase where the government's now in a position to be able to increase community surveillance, get more testings back up, get testing facilities functioning as normal and not, you know, in mobile operations and not in makeshift hospitals all around the community. So the cases have gone all the way down, as have the deaths, and they're working towards zero now. They're trying to find, as Dr. Fong said to me last night, we are now actively looking for positive people in the community.
Fijian journalist and owner of Today Media Fiji, Lide Movono. As always, it has been a pleasure speaking with you and getting that extensive update on things on the ground there in Fiji with regards to COVID-19. You are most welcome. That is Fijian journalist Lide Movono giving us, a good picture of what's happening on the ground. And is the government prepared or not? Boy, they are doing the mahi there.